Today on Real Life Radio.
Didn't we think on that day when churches began to fill up automatically, without announcement, churches began to be filling up on that Tuesday night, that there was hope in the midst of all of the ashes, that there was hope that a nation would turn its face back toward God? And where have we come?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's very special edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Why Are We Remembering 9/11? A Call to Return to the God of Our Fathers. On this, the 20th anniversary of September 11, we as a nation are still grieving over the lives that were lost on that early Tuesday morning in New York. We had been warned, but things were going well for us, and we all but ignored that an impending act of terrorism really could be in our near future. So on today's special message, Pastor Jack tells us that the churches were full after 9/11. Remember that? Many were praying and turning towards the Lord, knowing that life can change in just an instant. But 20 years later, our nation is further away from God than ever before. The past is meant to be a great teacher, but many have forgotten that deliberate and terrible attack of war on American soil. And now in his special message called, Why Are We Remembering 9/11? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We're going to be looking at a message today, a challenge today, of why we remember. Why are we remembering 9/11? It's very important that we stop to do that on this day. And so Hosea comes to mind for me, Hosea chapter 6, and this is the word of the prophet Hosea. By the way, Hosea, Joshua, Jesus, their names mean salvation. Hosea is speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel. This is at a time when the kingdom is divided. The kingdom of Judah is down south, the kingdom of Israel to the north, and the divided kingdom. And Hosea is speaking at a time, people, when nobody on the surface should be listening to him, because the northern kingdom was prospering. They were really doing great. They were living in peace. They had all the money. They had everything going on. Things were good. And then this guy comes along and says, if you guys don't repent and get back to God, God is going to take you out in judgment. He's going to knock you for a loop if you don't wake up. And they listen to Hosea and they say, what are you, crazy? We live in luxury. Things are going fantastic. Who needs you? And Hosea was speaking to their idolatry. They began to worship the blessings that God had given them. Sound familiar, people? Idolatry, the worship of stuff rather than the God who gives it. And so listen to what he says, Hosea chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. He says there, come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. Now this is a prophetic statement. This is regarding yet future for Israel. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Verse 3, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain. And I want you to stop at that comma right there. And let's pray right now. Father, we pray that you would hear us as a nation today crying out to you. Father God, as a people, we stop and we remember this day of infamy in our lives. For many of us, it's so clear in our memory. It's been 10 years to this day, but for many of us, it seems like it was something a year or two ago. And for many young people today, some of them not even yet born, have to rely upon our telling of the story of the events. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit would be saying to this, your church here and now, to this nation. And Lord, I pray, we pray together from sea to shining sea, that you would do what you've promised to the nation of Israel, and for that matter, any nation that will turn their hearts toward you, that you would send revival. Revive us, Lord. Revive America. Cause us to come back to you. We ask it now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And I don't know how you perceive today, how you're looking at it. For some of you, I've already heard first service say, man, I'm tired of all the news programs. I'm tired of seeing those airplanes fly into the building. I'm tired of seeing the people running down the streets covered in gray dust. Listen, I know what you're saying, but I don't think you're really meaning what you're saying here. I don't think you're tired of it. I don't think you can get tired of it. I think you can get grieved over it. It's disgusting. Thus, the terrorism. Now, let's be honest. We don't like to say this as Americans, but they really did a number on us. They used your airplanes with your fuel, your passengers, your pilots, against your economy, against your military, against your symbols of economic power, all for the price of an airline ticket. It was brilliant. It was demonically brilliant. The things that a mind can think when a mind is godless is beyond us. When we see that Hosea is speaking to the nation of Israel, it makes sense to us that Hosea, a Hebrew prophet, would speak to the Hebrew people about the Hebrew God. Makes perfect sense. But I use that verse today because, first of all, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of all the earth. And if you know something about history, he's the God of the founding of America. You would have to be a revisionist to think otherwise in this day and age. You would have to have been intentionally dumbed down to not know this. But this is the danger. The rumors were then, the rumors are now. It was a conspiracy. The rumors are Israel brought down our buildings. The rumors are George Bush brought down our buildings. The rumors are it was the mafia interest that brought down the buildings. It was all of these other things except the people being blamed who said, hey, we're going to bring down your buildings. Warnings had been going out, guys, for a long time. We were being warned by other intelligence agencies worldwide. 2 months before the attack, both British and Israeli services had warned the United States there are plans being monitored of an impending attack against U.S. cities. For many of us, we woke up on that morning, on that Tuesday morning, turning on the news, and we saw these events taking place. And for some, still today, the event was so far away. It's, by the way, in New York, a continent away. It's removed from us. Some of you know, I know some of you are in federal agencies, some of you law enforcement, but the general population, they don't know that at San Diego, Lindbergh Field, at LAX, Los Angeles, at Seattle and St. Louis and Chicago, when Panetta grounded by order of the president to ground all aircraft from taking off, there were terrorists on board flights in each of those cities on multiple airplanes with multiple targets, and they were pulled off and they were interrogated. That day, September 11th, was to be a day that was to rain down aircraft upon the United States, not just several planes. The FBI uncovering the devotional writings by Osama bin Laden in the various apartment dwellings in Florida, in Boston, in New York, by the leader of Muhammad Atta, described their requirements for the day and their courage for the day, what they would wear, what they would do in preparation to purify themselves before this attack. All of this was laid out and is well known. The events that happened after that, many of them were sequestered for quite a long time. One of them came out again this last 2 weeks in the news. Some of you know this, but we were under attack in all of our areas of power and symbolism, the Pentagon representing our military power, the trade centers, speaking of our economic power, the flight that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, headed for the Capitol building. They know that it was not headed toward the White House, and that's well documented. But we had been warned. And since that moment when all that began to take place, things began to happen, and it is absolutely necessary for us today to remember these things. I have to tell you, I battled back and forth, you know, about just staying on our normal study and getting into the book of Corinthians, but then today's September 11th, and I struggled back and forth. I got to tell you, we have to do this morning. We have to do this. And one of the things I want to read to you is a prayer that I have in my office. And I love this prayer. I love the man who prayed it. I feel like I know him more than most people. I've read his mail for years. His name's George Washington. And George Washington, on his last day in office, before he stepped down from being president of his own will, mind you, this is what Washington said. And it's my prayer this morning that God would hear this prayer again. Washington prayed, "Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline thine hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to governments, and to entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice and to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with the charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion." Gee, I wonder what that could be. Well, listen. "And without a humble imitation of whose example in these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen," said George Washington. We need that kind of prayer coming this day and at a time like this from our nation's leaders. Oh, but you know, the ACLU might get upset. A moment ago, we heard George Bush speaking, let's remember the 23rd Psalm of David in those events that followed 9/11. After 10 years of this tragedy, has America gotten closer to God or further away from God? Didn't we think on that day when churches began to fill up automatically, without announcement, churches began to be filling up on that Tuesday night, that there was hope in the midst of all of the ashes, that there was hope that a nation would turn its face back toward God? And where have we come? We have come now to a place where 10 years later, the mayor of New York City says there'll be no prayer today on September 11th, and there will be no representation of clergy at any of our events. The mayor of New York City. How far have we come? Have we gotten closer to God? Have we heeded the words of Hosea? No. Churches swelled across America. And then after the threats were diminished, churches went back to their normal size. The threat factor was over. What has happened to us? I'll tell you what, we have forgotten. We have forgotten what freedom is all about. We have forgotten that liberty and freedom is something that is not once purchased and then enjoyed forevermore. Liberty and freedom is something that is purchased with blood, it's purchased with sweat, it's purchased with sacrifice, and it's maintained with the same. We have gotten comfortable. We have our wealth. We have our prosperity. In the midst of all of these things, you can still do just about anything you want to do. But why do we get to do them? Because there are those right now today still defending our freedoms. There are those that are vigilant so we can be at ease. It's coming at a great cost. But church, I have to tell you, it's how you see these things. September 11th, it's not just another day. It's a day that we need to remember like never before. And I want to be asking you this question this morning. Why are we remembering? And as I thought about this morning and these freedoms that you and I enjoy, do you remember where all this came about, how it happened? Do you remember? There's a writing. It's not very big. In fact, it's pretty small. It's the foundation for even you sitting here right now. Did you know that? Small little writing. And a guy by the name of John Carver and William Bradford said, before we get off this boat called the Mayflower, we better have some rule of government or else we're going to get onto this new soil and we're all going to be a bunch of nuts. We won't have anything to guide us. And they sat down and wrote the foundation for our government today, and that's called the Mayflower Compact. And you ought to read it. And by the way, when you read it, it's none other than a prayer. Because God is all in it. The Mayflower Compact gave birth to our Declaration of Independence. Our founding fathers leaned upon their founding fathers, and their founding fathers were none other than the Pilgrims. The Declaration of Independence gave birth to the Constitution. The Constitution gave birth to the Bill of Rights. And that's the Bill of Rights that I heard read yesterday on TV, where it gave birth to the Gettysburg Address, written by Abraham Lincoln, about our freedoms and about our liberties. As Christians this morning, our faith is cultivated by being in the Word, by living out our faith, and so is freedom. Let's be honest, we have become very lazy and very apathetic regarding our liberties. We love them, they're fantastic, but we don't appreciate them much. But I want to just say this right now. Maybe we can think about them again. I want you to think about this, if you would. Why we remember is because the past is a great teacher for us, you guys. My heart is concerned for America when our kids are not learning real history anymore. They need to know history. I firmly believe if your child attends public school that parents, you need to spend your evenings teaching your children when they come home from school the truth. The truth about history. For example, the best thing about history is going back as far as you can. And this is pretty far back. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, God required of the Jewish people, speaking through Moses, he says, take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourselves, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. Lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. So that's the mandate from God. If you want to keep your life on the right track and that for your children and for your grandchildren, know where you've come from regarding your past. Know that. And you'll do well. And then I think about this. I remember it's not only about why were we attacked and why did we go to war to defend freedom and liberty, but why did the nation have to pray like it did? It was amazing. I shared this with you guys before. A friend of mine, after their 9/11, they called it. Remember when England was attacked by Islamic militants and the buses blew up and hundreds of people were killed in 2007? I was talking to him and he said, you know, things are different here in our 9/11. We responded differently. I said, what does that mean? He said, we remember on September 11th in America, all of your bars were empty and all of your churches were full. People prayed. And he said, here in England, all of our churches were empty and all of our bars were full. He said, you guys pray when you're in trouble. We drink when we're in trouble. Why does America pray? Where did it come from? People want to talk about, you know, separation of church and state, can't have God mentioned in this area or that area. And yet all week long, especially yesterday and today, ladies and gentlemen, our leaders of our nation, I just saw Vice President Biden invoking the name of God in his address. George Bush just got done speaking. And what did he call? He read scripture and called upon the name of the Lord. No one says anything. Think about this right now. We have a culture that's being conditioned instead of praying and seeking God. Don't talk to God. Don't even talk about God. And then listen, when the real, real true colors come out, America has a tendency to pray. We've got a tendency to go to our God on our knees and to cry out to him. I want you to think about that and the power of it. There's a God in heaven and he's listening. Amen. And when I think about Bradford and Carver stepping onto the shores of the United States, invoking God to lead them and guide them. And when I think of even old, now having been backslidden, comes back to Jesus, Benjamin Franklin. Old man says, hey, you guys, we couldn't do anything without God's assistance. And now do you think we're going to create a nation without his aid? And he called for a break in their activity in Congress, and they went across the street and they prayed for 3 days. After praying, God gave our leaders the Constitution. The longest government body on a piece of paper that the world has ever known to govern one people at a time, ever. It's still the oldest document governing people in the world today of any nation ever. When a nation prays, when a family prays. Yes, I know that God spoke to Hosea about the nation of Israel. But you know what's awesome about the God of the Bible? He's made it clear from Old Testament to New, if any nation that will call out to me, repent of their sins, seek my face, I'll answer them. We also need to be very careful that we see things from God's perspective at a time like this. 10 years later, I would hope our nation would have been much more closer to God. We need to see things from his perspective. The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge, a strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Do you know him like that? We are here as Americans. America, we've made the choice to be here. And the history of our nation is to cry out to God and ask him to bless. But will we be honest today and say, God, it would be okay if you didn't bless us? Because, Lord, we have told you to get out of our courts. We've told you to get out of our schools. He's been rejected. Your perspective, how you see God, really matters. Is he personal in your life? Is he real? And this same God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. Amen. Listen, how much do you know Jesus? How well do you know him? The God of the Bible. The one who the scripture says came to die for us on the cross for our sins. Do you know him? You say, well, Pastor Jack, you know, all that stuff, before all that happens, he's going to come and get us out of here, right? He's going to take us away, right? I don't know. What? He could come back today. He could come back in 100 years. Yeah, but he's going to come back before it gets real ugly here in America, right? What makes you think that? Where'd you read that at? Do you know him now? Jesus, personally, the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know him?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio. In a message called, Why Are We Remembering 9/11? Thanks for being with us today on this special event. Why Are We Remembering 9/11 is a special message on the 20th anniversary of September 11, 2001. It's a day in history that all Americans really need to remember. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, in light of world events, now more than ever, we need a biblical worldview of what's happening in the world today. So, to help us stay updated and equipped, Pastor Jack offers live events and news updates when you visit his website, jackhibbs.com. You can also check out our real-life media ministry for not only the radio and video programs, but also access to even more resources from Pastor Jack's library. And now you can watch, listen, and grow as a Christ follower at jackhibbs.com. Let me give you that again, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.